This is looking west again. So in the background, the grayish building here you can see is that indoor sports facility, and we want to screen that, so to speak, with this engaged commercial retail space to break the scale of that building down. There's another shot of that. Yes.
Two slides, please. I'm going to show the folks
that one
out there what happens when we get together with these folks. This building, this is south, this is north. You got windows facing north. Wouldn't it be better to have the windows facing south and take advantage of the sun and heat? Similarly, this is just my two cents. Similarly, over here, you've got this building. This was the pizza building.
Sure.
The pizzas are on the outside seating is on the south side. Not bad, but it would be better if it's on the west side.
Sure.
So you get the evening sun. Just saying.
Good points, and all points we consider. I can address those specific questions. The northern light is actually better for a situation like this because it doesn't give you direct glare. Okay.
You know what you're talking about. I don't. Keep moving.
Before you move to the south side, Can I ask a couple of questions on the north side?
Absolutely.
Can you go to the overhead picture?
Sure.
Probably one of the first ones.
The site plan or the
Probably site plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. It seems like the stadium has moved further south from where it had been.
Big button in the middle.
I think we can see the stadium.
You want to
it seems out. Like it's been moved further south. Is that correct or no?
It has a little bit, yes. So in master planning this, as you know, there's a lot of constraints on the site. To work in as much parking as we can on the north side, a substantial amount of development here. The road, there's very little place to put it. Where there's a pinch point is right here, so there's a lot of grade happening here.
And I'm not questioning that. I'm just looking at this, and this the stadium is in a different location than the previous plans.
Slightly, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe talk about the limits of waste and how that impacted the design.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish we had a hard line on here, but the limits of waste really go along this road and then cut down here, and as I was referring to before, there's a lot of grade change here, so the developable land, even though this isn't on the waste, to get a road here and get some development on this side of the road was really problematic. So to make the overall development efficient, we pushed the road south and gave us a little more room for the stadium and the grading we have to do for the stadium and got us some parking here. But what really drove the location of this, I mean, we wanted to create this node in this place. The limits of the waste, as if you would remember what David had said in his presentation, bumps up here a little bit in a peninsula and comes back down. So a lot of this area, we really wanted to keep everything that has foundation work out of that limits of waste. So this golf facility is actually out of the waste. We really worked the plan pretty hard to keep as much of the building out. It does come down on the S3 a little bit, not too much. So that's really that was a main driving factor in informing where all the buildings are placed and in the site circulation through there as well.
So the adjustments you made were to primarily keep as much as possible away from the waste areas?
Correct.
And what about the screening on the east? You do show some evergreens there. What is your plan there? And it's probably early to finalize that, but if we don't really focus on it now, it might be something
we can do. We have it in concept. Obviously, you know, we're showing this as just a representation of a landscape buffer, but that's I believe that's the landscape buffer that was agreed upon.
Okay.
60 feet? 80 feet?
And that's what we had talked about with the previous plan, right?
60 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, and an 8-foot berm.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Mayer.
I
just have some questions regarding...
Can you use your microphone, please?
Sorry. I have some questions regarding the amount of parking around the main node there.
Yes.
Doesn't seem like very much. Are they supposed to just go to that big parking lot then?
Yes. So there's very little street parking. So we have some pedestrian or some parallel parking on these streets. This lot will serve this building. A portion of the stalls in this lot will serve this building, and then the rest will serve the retail, and then the balance would be in this lot here as well.
That main road has parallel parking on it?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So the parking counts and the parking ratios, where my pointer is here, about to here is the parking needs that are served for this whole node here. So there will be a little bit of walking involved when it's very busy, but we do serve healthy ratios or acceptable ratios for the uses proposed within that circumference.
Next.
All right, we'll go south. I can do that. Speak up. Oh, yes. I'm boring. Okay, so I will pick up the pace a little bit. This is... what's that? Okay. This will go faster because... It's just less to talk about. So on south of Rawson, we have a commercial node as well. And again, this is the public road that will go through all the way to Loomis potentially. So we have a commercial node here with up to about 50,000 square feet of retail here and a potential commercial pad here that could potentially be a hotel here. And then we've also... left a potential development parcel here that would be very appealing as well. So as you come south through there, we have six multifamily buildings. So these will be purely multifamily residential apartments, three stories, totaling 300 units. And we would also have a separate clubhouse, which would be a single-story clubhouse, and some additional amenity space. Right now we're talking about an outdoor shelter here that perhaps in the winter months this could be an area for a skating pond with a shelter, maybe with some restrooms or something. But as you can see, there's a substantial network of pedestrian network of trails going around some stormwater management. We do maintain a significant landscape buffer here between the existing residential and the new development. Now it says here 150 feet. That's at its narrowest point right here. So 150 feet here, I believe it's 200 here and 250 here. So, and that's with one-story structure. So as you go south, it really widens out. So these homes here really have a 250, 300-foot buffer with no development between the parcel line and a building.
Roy.
Yep.
Oh, sure. One thing I want to make sure everybody understands I'll put this right through Joe's ears here. Is what's happening down here at the as this new street essentially exits the site. This is connecting to old Loomis Road, not to real Loomis Road. We are anticipating abandoning old Loomis Road from Rawson down to this location. And then this road would come out to old Loomis and would continue down to the sort of the back door to the Stonehenge subdivision. And eventually we hope that this triangle between existing old Loomis and the on-ramp That is presently DOT land, and we'd hope that that would be eventually declared surplus and we could develop it. So, just want to make that point.
Thanks. So the multifamily buildings are organized around a series of green spaces. We want this to have sort of the quad feel, so it doesn't feel like a sea of parking. So there's underground parking on each of these buildings, but that also needs to be supplemented by surface parking. So we've accommodated that in these auto courts or around these green spaces. For instance, here's some surface parking, head-in surface parking here. There's parallel parking along this area. And then on the back of in the back of these buildings, there's some surface parking as well. So as you go through this public street, it's a nice green boulevard with parallel parking along there, and it opens up into these series of green spaces that the buildings are organized around. Architecturally, you know, we want to relate to that modern industrial look. This is an image of a project of ours that people were in our development team were gravitating to. So this wouldn't be what it would look like exactly, but this will give you an idea of the sense of scale. So three-story buildings. We're proposing to do some flat roofs to not only tie into some of the architectural aesthetics north of Rawson Road, but to keep the mass of the buildings down without the pitched roofs. So more of a modern aesthetic is what we're going for. And again, just imagery to show our initial thinking right now, not necessarily what it will look like. But I think the mix of materials is important here, too, and is appropriate. So what you see here is masonry in this brownish material. So the buildings will have some masonry on them. Also, cement board siding, either in a panel system or horizontal clapboard. So high-quality materials on these buildings as well. And here's that same project, but it gives you an idea of kind of what we're trying to accomplish here. So these buildings are arranged around a central green, and if you were at this development, it goes all the way around this green space. And so we really want to program the green space to, again, be a place, not just leftover green space. So as we move forward with the design, you'll see those green spaces develop more as well as the buildings. Here are some more images of some of the architecture and what it could look like. So again, flat roof, more of the modern aesthetic, some raw materials. Maybe in certain instances we have some of the materials that we're using in north of Rawson. We bring them down to help make it a more cohesive development. And again, with the mixed-use development up north of Rawson, we'll do the same thing. If you remember, I'll point to it on here. This area here, north of Rawson, those purple buildings would be a mixed use. So that'd be a four-story with ground floor retail, commercial uses, and above the ground floor we would have residential uses. So similar in scale, in massing, in style, to what you're seeing here. This is maybe one floor higher than that, but it's just to give you an idea of what some of the things we're looking at that may be appropriate. Again, this is a five-story building, but it does have that modern industrial kind of aesthetic that may be appropriate, but it would be a shorter building. And again, the retail uses on the ground floor, the residential on the upper floors. Another shot of that one. So that's an overview of the master plan and our initial architectural thoughts.
Dick, do you mind sharing your conversation with the neighbor?
Yes, I had a... Greg?
Name and address.
I'm sorry. Richard Lincoln. I'm a consultant to the team My address is 761 East Lexington Boulevard in Whitefish Bay. We did review the updated plans with just on a conference call last week with several of the neighbors in the Stonehedge subdivision.
That would be these folks?
That's correct, yes. And I certainly don't speak for them, but from our point of view, I thought it was a very constructive conversation. Many of the changes that they had suggested in a larger meeting last fall, I think pretty much all of them have been incorporated into the revised site plan for the triangle south of Rawson. So we'll maintain our communication with them, and I felt pretty good about it.
Just other sort of miscellaneous updates, and then we'll let you guys ask questions. The sound and light study that we have to conduct is we added a couple other elements. Once we understood the entire development, wanted to understand any sort of compounding issues with sound and light. So we've now submitted that, and we're going to be conducting that probably within the next 3 to 4 weeks. Continued environmental study. We're going to continue to try to understand, you know, what's going on environmentally. In terms of what we're hoping for, we're hoping to get into an agreement with county relatively quickly so we can, you know, put shovel in ground early summer. That's still our goal. The pieces that we are running up against right now with the tenants, it's a bit of a slippery slope because with the tenants that we've got, their current leases, many of them are expiring, or they're looking at other markets. So we're, you know, in this very fortunate position, but also I would say very vulnerable if we can't sort of get through the timeline. So the architecture teams and the planning teams are hard at work. And then in terms of the valuation impact, we'll send documents in terms of how now this development sort of runs up financially against the other one, but I'll say directionally it's very, very close. As a matter of fact, there's one or two other opportunities that we didn't quite have before, so Dick, if I'm saying something incorrectly, please stop me.
You haven't gotten me in trouble.
Okay, yeah, well, that's still early in our relationship. So obviously we're going to want to bet that with Ehlers as that's appropriate. And then there's a developer's agreement with the city, so we're hopeful that we can get that started in the next week or two. And then lastly, we realize that these changes have some PDD implications that we'll have to go back and amend accordingly. So with that's sort of our dog and pony, so I'll turn it over to you, Mayor and Common Council, to ask us questions.
Alderman Mayor.
I just want an update on the conditions that were required. How many have been met?
I don't know that I have an official scorecard, but we are. I carry that table around with me, and we're working our way through all of those. You know, there are a number of them that, you know, really won't be satisfied until we have and can present to staff and the council detailed building plans and those sorts of things. And as Mike just said, that's work in progress. So we are mindful of it, and we're working our way through it.
And as far as the shovel in the ground by summer, what area are you looking at?
I think we're looking at the stadium, the indoor sports complex, the office building, probably the golf facility, and the first one or two buildings of the apartment south of Rawson, and potentially one of the restaurant pads for a brew pub, yeah. So we're pedaling as fast as we can.
One question: in summer, is it early summer, late summer? Obviously, it depends on the city, too.
Sooner the better.
Okay, thanks.
But these things never go faster than you want them to.
And for the record, Alderman Barber has again left his seat. I'm guessing at quarter.
Right there.
Oh, you're hiding in the back. I'm sorry. He's still there. The record reflects he's still there. Let's do Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Wilhelm.
What's the time frame for the next time we'll hear from you? And if I might as well just piggyback on that, can we get another update in, like, beginning of June? Doesn't have to be As much detail, maybe, or maybe some more detail based on where you're at?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, whenever you guys want an update, please just call us in. You know, we've been with the negotiations with the tenants and the discussions with the county, a lot of that had to be sort of held confidentially, but now I think you're going to start to see us working, you know, sort of around the clock and, you know, with great speed and rigor. But again, you know, right now it kind of comes down to, you know, getting a deal done with the county, frankly.
Okay.
For staff, June 5th latest. Committee of the Whole.
Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Could you talk about the quality of the apartments? And I know you've done this in the past, but there might be some different people here. I was out knocking on doors, and I heard subsidized housing, low income, low quality. And so I'd like to address that, start with rates, and then I have a couple other things after that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let Dick add color, but we, you know, are just in the same exact position that we were when we started this. We have no intent to build subsidized apartments. I mean, it's higher-end apartments. The market will dictate that, and if you look at the report that we had done, too, it suggested that there's a great market for higher-end apartments. And I think the studies that came back said that the person that would afford these types of apartments would is like in the $70,000 to $75,000 a year number, just to sort of get through the underwriting process. But maybe, Dick, if you want to talk a little bit about the mix.
Yes, these very definitely will be market rate apartments. They will not be subsidized or any of that sort of thing. Right now we're looking at a mix of approximately one-third one-bedroom and two-thirds two-bedroom units, and some two-bedroom and dens.
Mr. Lincoln, people may have forgotten you come from the Mandel Group.
I do. I'm retired after many, many years of working with the Mandel Group, which I unhumbly believe is the best apartment developer in town.
And we have to agree that they have some very nice apartments.
Yes. So that's the mindset we're coming with.
And then could you talk about the sports complex, its uses, how you might see the community fitting into that? What do you expect on a weekly basis for uses in that?
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of chatter around the original proposal, which was a indoor tournament venue. So that is not what we're proposing anymore. So the sports venues, there's really two main components. The first one is the indoor training center. It's a sports performance training center. So the training sits at the hub of the wheel, and then we spin off other kind of more elite programs, whether it be a baseball program, a lacrosse program. But we are in conversations with a healthcare provider, with somebody that's been doing this for a very long time. And it's a fabulous business model. It's got it'll have a regional reputation. Athletes from all over the United States come to these types of centers. So that's the what is that? My eyes cannot. What letter is that first yellow building? Is it the pointer? There we go. All right. Thank you. So that's the one that I'm referring to. So. Slightly different than, you know, a tournament business, which, while it was good in its own right, it would have been very, very expensive to build because of the limits of waste, point one, point two. It was largely a weekend model. It would be largely activated Friday through Sunday, where this model is activated all the time. So the other component is this golf center. That is, it's going to be the real magic sauce of the development. It's a four-season sort of outdoor driving range meets BW3's entertainment. It's very, very special. It's very unique. They're all over the United States in really warm climates. There's like 2.5 hours just to get into this thing. So we can't tell you who that is, but it's going to be a really important anchor for the development. So when you look at what that does economically, those two concepts alone are significantly more powerful for the development.
I guess I don't understand the golf. I mean, someone.
No, I totally get that. Yep.
You know how that fits in. I wouldn't be able to explain it to anyone. So I don't know if there's any little things that you could help with.
I could just tell you who I'm talking to, and but that would totally blow the deal, right? So maybe offline, I can nudge you where to go do some research.
Okay, that sounds good. And I think you already had the phases, and I think. Back to the fill area, the soil venting system, and you're pretty confident that you can make that happen with the stadium? Because you do want to do the stadium first, right?
Yeah, so am I confident? I'm over my ski tips on that area. That's why I hired what I thought was the best in the business to guide us. And, I guess what they say is, it's just a matter of time and money that can solve most issues. But based upon what we know about the site today, which is quite a lot, there's still more that we've got to learn. The engineering solutions that we've come up with, the team feels pretty confident that we could pull it off. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. So, but you never really know until you start doing the deeper dive and doing more of the soil borings.
Well, I'm very happy with who you've selected on that. I think they're very highly qualified, and obviously they've been at this quite a long time, so that was a good choice. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back.
You want to do item three and then take a break?
Half hour.
Let's be back at 10 minutes after.
Okay. Why not just go?
We are taking a 10-minute break.
I told her.
We're back in open session. We were never in closed session, but we're back from recess. Move on to item two. Item three. A presentation from Rueckert & Mielke regarding potential sewer water extension area D. Mr. Hertzberg. He's over there.
Sure. Thank you. So we're next talking about Area D. The last time we had extensive conversation about this topic, it was a request that we discuss it again at a Committee of the Whole meeting. So we're back to talking about it at a Committee of the Whole meeting, next available. 2 weeks ago, we approved a contract with Rueckert & Mielke, so we started working with them on some of the engineering. As I noted at that time, I thought Rueckert & Mielke was uniquely qualified to address this project, having historically worked on it, having gathered expertise in that area. We're able to quickly jump into it, and here we are 2 weeks later with quite a bit of information. And because I know that this has been a hotly discussed issue, I think it's important that we provide the opportunity to walk through, from an engineering standpoint, what some of the challenges are, how we can overcome those challenges, and I think potentially some next steps. So I'm going to leave it at that and then turn it over to Joe Eberle, our consultant from Rueckert & Mielke, to walk us through, and please feel free to ask questions.
Thank you, Aaron. Is this one working?
Yep.
Okay. Good evening. As Aaron said, my name is Joe Eberle. I'm with Rueckert & Mielke. I've been there for 37 years. I used to be a lot taller and younger and skinnier, but anyway, we're going to talk about Area D tonight. Go over some things. You were furnished some materials in your packet for tonight's meeting. Can we get the lights on?
Paul's on.
Thank you, Mr. Rotzenberg.
I'm still here.